Well, welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. Thank you for joining us. And for those who are joining us live on our broadcast right now, and for those of you that are watching this taped, either on Facebook, on YouTube, or on our podcast, we just thank you for joining us. Tonight, we have some very special guests, as you can see right here. We have Laura McFarland from A Reason For, and Tracy Gockel from Growing in Grace blog. Welcome, Tracy and Laura.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us and agreeing to talk about how to help struggling spellers. That's a new one for us. And also how to make it multisensory and bring in biblical truths. That's a lot to put into one thing. And so we're going to be talking a lot tonight. So thanks for taking time out of your schedule just to join us.
Our pleasure to be here. And we just want to thank you too, Peggy, for the work that you're putting into SPED. What an incredible organization. And just to see the Lord bless that and it ramp up. We saw you at the Woodlands Convention last weekend.
Yeah.
And saw some folks with SPED at Arlington. And wow, the word is getting out quickly. And so many families being blessed by the ministry that the Lord placed on your heart. So just really grateful for how the Lord is leading and how you are being obedient to follow where he is leading you or dragging you or pushing you or pulling you or whatever, but there are great things happening.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And he's bringing a lot more along with me, too. So that's a good thing because I can't do all this by myself. So thank you, both of you. So I'm going to have you start, Laura. Just tell us a little bit about A Reason For and that curriculum and that organization, just kind of how that got started and the basis behind the teaching philosophy, and especially related to spelling as we kind of dive into that. So I'd love for you to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I would love to do that. My husband Kevin and I home educated our four children for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so when this company was sort of relaunched a couple of years ago here in this small town in Northwest Arkansas where I live, I was asked to come in and join them. And it was really a delight to do that because I used A Reason For handwriting initially all those years ago. So that was really our first product. A Reason For handwriting was launched about 40 years ago. And a lot of folks are very familiar with that. Our name really tells a lot about who we are. A Reason For means that for this publishing company, everything is about scripture. Mm-hmm. And that really resonates with my heart. I feel like the call in my life in this next season of post-home education, and for all the moms out there still in the throes of it, I'm living proof that there is life after sort of home education. But my desire is to encourage women to love God and love his word. So it's just such a natural thing for me to be very passionate about the products that we publish. So our distinctive with handwriting is that children learn penmanship. We know that we learn writing by writing and practicing penmanship. And so we do that by having them write scripture verses. And so that's the premise there. And so they practice writing words and letters that are part of that key verse. And then on Friday, on the last day of the week, they write out that whole verse on a border sheet that's provided. There's some of those in the back of the book. And you probably got that screen to show one completed by Helen, the daughter of one of the ladies that writes for our blog. But that's where really the fun part happens, because we encourage those children to then pray and ask the Lord, who should I bless this week with the word of scripture? So that these verses have been mailed to missionaries. They've been presented to Sunday school teachers. They've been mailed to grandmas and aunts. They've been taken to nursing homes, to shut-ins. And so I think we're accomplishing a lot of goals there. We're teaching children penmanship. They're learning scripture as they do it. They're learning that the best way to encourage anyone is by the gift of scripture. And they're learning to walk in missions and ministry. So having said all that, we started with handwriting. But because we're A Reason For, and we intentionally wanted to have an opportunity to continue to empower parents to teach children, we jumped in to develop spelling. And our spelling curriculum dovetails with handwriting. That's kind of why I wanted to mention that first. So first of all, it's organized phonetically. So each week, the spelling words that are offered will be by the sound that they make. So we'll have a week with the short A sound and a week with the long A sound and all the vowels. And then there'll be a week with double consonants. And I think the lesson we're going to showcase this week has the OU sound, the owl sound. And so, but before we jump into each lesson and get into all that multi-sensory approach to learning, we drop in a modern day devotional that unpacks the truth of that scripture. So we want to empower parents to teach the word to their children. And the verses, the verse that that devotional is unpacking ties directly, it's unpacking the truth in that verse they would have been writing in handwriting. So they do work together very well. So the lesson we're going to showcase this week is from Mark chapter 4. So the children would have written Mark 4, 23 to 24. And then this little devotional story that's sort of at the beginning is a story that the parents would read aloud to the children. And it lets them see that even though Mark was written in the first century, it has direct application in the 21st century as well. I think this theme is on following directions. So that's a lifelong skill we want our children to learn, right? And that we moms are maybe still learning ourselves. And so that is, that ends up with some discussion questions. And it's really fun to sort of get feedback from other parents. Some are using that on a Monday or Tuesday night during dinner or after dinner with dad. And it becomes sort of a family devotion. And they make that scripture verse even a family scripture memory. So then we get into the actual lesson itself. And so should I go ahead and unpack a lesson then?
I think we're going to wait. We're just going to have Tracy talk a little bit about the impact of this has had on her daughter and her homeschooling, and then we'll dive into the specifics and even just, you know, what makes this curriculum so powerful with that, those multi-sensory and biblical components to it, and also just, you know, how parents can bring that into other things that they do with their kids too, because it's definitely an incredible approach, I think, in just viewing education altogether. So, so Tracy, thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your story. I know we talked a little bit before the broadcast just about how this curriculum has impacted your daughter, who is a struggling speller. And so I thought maybe you would help us to understand maybe even just how you came about it, finding it, and then just as you've used it over the years, I've seen that through the blog post that you have written, that this has been a multi-year process of using this curriculum and just how it's opened doors for your daughter in spelling.
Mm-hmm. Shortly after we recognized that my daughter had dyslexia, we were working with a program that helped her a lot with her reading, but as it shifted from reading into more spelling, she just bombed. I mean, it was just the program worked one day and didn't the next. And it didn't matter how many times phonetically we went over a word. When it came down to actually writing that, either best case scenario, all the letters would be there, but they would be jumbled. Worst case scenario, they wouldn't even be the same letters we just sounded out. And so that was just, it was time to shift to something different. And so with all of her difficulties, it created a lot of anxiety. And so just the thought of doing spelling, she would just go into meltdown mode and would just cry at the thought of having to try to spell something. So we stepped back and took a break. And I actually did... Yeah, I did a program called Dyslexia Games for a while. It's kind of a therapy. And so it taught her to kind of look at the details with a lot of logic puzzles and different things, and just shifted her focus from, I can't do this, to this is a puzzle and it's fun. So we kind of transitioned gradually. And after we'd gone through a couple of levels, I thought, okay, now it's time to give this a try again. And I remember early on having seen A Reason for Handwriting and a few of the other products. So I went in my search, I looked at everything, but that was one of the things I went back to. And what struck me was it continued with that very visual sensory approach that we'd had so much success with in the dyslexia games. I looked at it carefully, chose the level I thought would be appropriate for her. She was excited just because it's colorful and it's bright and it's fun. And then when we headed into it, it was just a complete difference for her. It has become from the subject that gave her the most anxiety to her absolute favorite subject now. Wow. She starts every day with this subject. And so when she made it to her first, when she made it to her first review lesson, there's a little certificate in the book, and she really felt like she'd accomplished something. And so she made a bright pink poster of all the words that she knew how to spell now and put it in her room. It was just such a celebration for her. So it's made a big difference, helped her to gain a lot of confidence.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds that way. Yeah, I know, Laura, we're running
cheers. Music to my ears, truly, truly.
Well, I mean, you see a child struggle for so long. And when you pointed out you took a break, that is so important. When we see kids struggle, oftentimes we want to jump into something new and push again, and just think that that is going to solve the problem. But really pulling back, allowing that child to take a breather, allowing us to breathe for a while and really look at what's going on from a step back and have a better perspective is so important. And so so I appreciate you saying that, because yeah. Oftentimes we have parents who say, well, this isn't working, what can I try next? And it's like, take a break. And they're like, really? Well,
and especially when there's anxiety involved, the more you push, the higher the anxiety goes.
Exactly.
And so taking that break allowed her to kind of step out of panic mode.
Right. And you know, I think that's sound wisdom. Even if you don't have a child with some unique and special needs, there's going to be seasons and things that they're going through as they grow and develop, or struggles with your family that might make that just good sage wisdom to just take a break. And then as a mom, I think Tracy had the wisdom to pray and say, okay, I need to find something that will work. And so I know I wrote a blog post a few weeks ago about preparing for a convention. And I did it sort of with question and answer. So one of the questions is, how do I choose the correct curriculum? Or what if I make a mistake? Mm-hmm. And I think my answer to that is just accept the fact that you probably will make a mistake, or you'll choose a curriculum that just doesn't fit. Or I know I visit with many moms who this worked for child one and two and three, and I've already invested in it and I spent the money, and we're just going to push on through. And so giving yourself permission to say, it doesn't really work for this child, and we're going to find something different. And maybe I'll pass that along to someone who can benefit from it and save us a lot of struggle. So sometimes when we're stuck, we just need to go in reverse. We put it in park and stop for a little bit, and then maybe we put it in reverse and go in a different direction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's okay if you go back. Well, 1 year, I went back 3 years in math for one child because we needed two. And, you know, it never, I wouldn't regret doing it again. You know, it was what was needed. So,
and that was one of the things when I looked at what level to put her in, I didn't look at just, okay, she's fourth grade, what does a fourth grader do? I went back to each book and said, okay, what spelling level is she at? And that's much different. And the nice thing about it is that a reason for spelling is leveled by letter, not by grade. And so she doesn't pick up on the fact that it might not be grade level. It's not an insult to go back to the level that is really appropriate for her.
And that was an intentional strategy. Thank you, Tracy, for pointing that out. That sometimes we begin children later. You have a squirmy little child that just needs a couple more years to build forts and play in the dirt and whatever. And so we may start a little bit later. So level A, if that were just labeled first grade and technically this child is second or third grade level, we don't want to rob them of their dignity or create unnecessary drama. And then sometimes it's the other perspective. We have an eager beaver that's ready to start at a much younger age. And so we just do those levels, and this is what level you are. And it seems to remove a lot of that stigma and keep everyone happy. So, and we do have placement tests. I think Tracy probably lost some of those at the beginning of each book in the teacher guide. There are placement tests, and we provide those online as well to help you choose the appropriate grade level.
Yeah, it's easy to find on your website if you just look for tests on there, and you have a nice listing of them and even a scope and sequence. I can bring up that page, actually.
I think if you go to the downloads tab at the very bottom of the areason4.com website, there's a link for downloads. I think that's where it is.
Yep. I guess I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Share my screen.
One other thing I would mention while you're looking is going at your own pace, the child's own pace. And so, for instance, one level of those books, we finished half a book this year, and we're going to finish the other half next year. And so we've just been gradually doing that.
Yeah. Better to cover half a year and know it all really well and have a child celebrating and creating a pink poster with all of her words. I love that story. I came back to the office and shared that with folks here. What a great way to celebrate. Then to go, then to push on through and keep religiously to a schedule that's meaningless. And she hasn't grasped the words. It doesn't own them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, okay. I'm going to have to switch around some things on my screen. I just realized I opened everything in the same browser, and that's making it very difficult to share pictures. So I'm going to have to switch some things around. But before I do that, I just want to let our viewers know that if you have questions for either Tracy or Laura, make sure to type them in the comments so that we can read them and put them up onto our screen and answer them for you. But yeah, so why don't the two of you discuss a little bit more just about the approach and the kind of the general overall approach to the spelling curriculum and then I will hopefully have all these slides ready to go and we can go from there. So even Tracy, you've shared a little bit, but so Laura, the one thing that you have is that you have parents write for things on your website, and Tracy wrote a little thing up about her using a reason for, and you have other parents that write in just right. kind of testimonies. And yes. so maybe right. the two of you can talk about that and I will be right back.
Okay. That's fine. Well, what Peggy is referring to is our A Reason for Homeschool blog, our company website to find our products and make those purchases and find the scope and sequence and the tests and the placement tests that Peggy's referring to. That company website is areasonfor.com. But then a couple of years ago, the new owner of our company decided that the best way to sort of relaunch and market our products is to really just love on the homeschool mom. So they decided to launch a blog written by homeschool moms for homeschool moms. And our blog is areasonforhomeschool.com. And areasonforhomeschool.com is a plethora of all sorts of things that touch the heart of a Christian woman, a homeschool Christian woman. And so Tracy has done a guest blog for us. Tracy, I think you wrote that just when you were beginning your journey with a reason for it. I'm not sure you'd even really started using the curriculum. You were hopeful. You felt like that was it. You'd done your homework. So it's kind of fun to go back and read that post from a year ago or so, and then revisit the conversation we had up in Arlington a couple of weeks ago, right. down in Arlington for me and you a couple of weeks ago about how well she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I followed up with a few posts on my own blog, Growing. Capital N Grace, growingingrace.com, with kind of the end of our year. So the beginning of our year, and then looking back and saying, okay, here's what worked and just how that curriculum has, how we've used it and modified it to fit what right. our lives look like. So.
Right. And I think that multisensory approach is just so key for a child that struggles with some special needs. But really, as I interact with moms and say, you know, when they're young, they're all really tactile learners. So our multisensory approach to learning is visual, it's tactile, it's auditory, and it's just fun. The workbooks for the children are colorful and engaging. And I think we're competing against a lot that's out there with technology and media. And so back in the dark ages when this mom had spelling and it was just sort of, here's your spelling words on Monday and memorize them and there'll be a test on Friday, we've moved well beyond that. And so there's just so much to compete for their attention. So we do need to make it engaging and fun. And then when you layer on a child with some special needs, this approach just really seems to work. And your daughter, your personal testimony is such an encouragement to us. And I trust to other viewers out there in the community that are hearing that as well. Mm-hmm. And there's Peggy back.
And I'm back. Okay. I think I've got the screens ready to go now.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so what should I share first? I've got a whole lot up on my screen.
Why don't I just talk through a lesson? We've talked generalities about it being multisensory and the effectiveness of it, but I thought perhaps if that would be okay, we'll just start with the lesson. So that page 193 from, I think the slides that we said, already introduced, I sort of jumped the gun and gave a little intro already talking about the literature connection and the little devotional, but the actual spelling exercises begin. We're doing lesson 21. We're showcasing that day one in lesson 21. And this is level B. So that would traditionally be perhaps a second grade student. And let's see, Peggy has the handwriting up there. So you can see the verse showcased that the children would be writing from Mark chapter 4. And that focus on listening and following instructions. And that verse says, if you have ears, listen, be sure to put into practice what you hear. So that's the handwriting. So with a typical lesson, we'd encourage them to jump in and do that handwriting day by day first. And then when we're ready for spelling, when they begin on page 193 of the spelling curriculum, and that's going to be the preview test at the, it's going to have a preview tab label at the top with all those words listed. So we begin with a preview test. That's optional. And usually, okay, that's the literature connection. That's the devotional that mom and dad would read to introduce the application. And then 2 pages later will be that preview test.
This one
here. So usually we introduce it by just saying, you've not seen these words before. We're just going to check to see how many of you may already know how to spell. We recommend correcting immediately. But I wanted Tracy to chime in here because she has another perspective on that preview test where her daughter was concerned. And so I want moms and dads that are watching to know that this is an optional page. And so Tracy, tell us why.
Doing a preview test with my daughter's anxieties, we're going to guarantee be a big fail. And so what we've done is we save that page for the final test. And so we don't pre-test at all. She heads into the meat of the lesson. And then when she's worked the activities and feels comfortable, she'll let me know when she feels like she's ready. And then we pull out that page and we do that page as our final activity for the lesson.
Got it.
Okay. So this works like every other curriculum works when you're the homeschool mom. You're the queen of your homeschool and you get to decide what works best for you and your children and your family. So the preview test is there, but it is optional. In the teacher guide, which looks, the page looks like this. I don't know if you can see that. But in the teacher guide, we provide sentences for you to read aloud. So if mom is having one of those particularly challenging days, she doesn't even have to think up her own sentence. We provide those there. The next page is going to be the word shape box, and Tracy mentioned this as well. This is always going to be the first activity in our multisensory approach to studying and learning spelling words. You will see these word shape boxes in every level of our spelling, from A, level grade 1, all the way up through level F or grade 6. And so the premise of this, educational research tells us that children often don't see individual letters. Often they will see the shape of that entire word. And so we're capitalizing on that by providing the word shape box. So that first word is around, A-R-O-U-N-D. So you're looking for the letters that are all just small boxes and then one on the end that goes up tall. And so as they visually look for the shape boxes and find the box where that word fits, they're interacting with the words, they're copying them, they're looking at that shape, and that just begins that first introduction to interacting and owning those words for their own and committing them to memory. And I think, Tracy, you said that your daughter really enjoyed this exercise. And sometimes we go back and create her own. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite pages because she cannot rely on the phonics to memorize a word. She can understand the phonics, but just the hearing, the auditory processing, she can't put it together. And so visually being able to connect that word with a shape is her strength. And so we're teaching spelling from her strength instead of her weakness. And then, yes, if she's struggling with a word, then she will draw her own boxes around each letter to again connect that visual element to the word that she's struggling to see.
That's such a good skill to, you know, as you know, she's getting, you know, taking this on as her own as she gets older, because not oftentimes do we equip kids as they become adults and how to be a visual thinker and how to spell and to how to ground those. And since dyslexia kids are such picture thinkers, this,
yes,
this is a wonderful approach for spelling.
And I love how she's so proactive and figuring out a way to make that work for her and drawing the boxes around her own words. It's just so clever. We're going to milk this page for another activity before we leave it behind, because after the children copy all the letters over and fill those, then the instructions tell them to go back and shade the words that have this, the letters that spell the sound of OU or OW in each word, because this is phonics based. So all the words that they're studying this week all have that OW sound. And so after they finish shading it, and Helen has done that for us with her lesson and shared it with us. And so you can see that she has shaded the OU in south, the OU in around, the OU in house. But it's interesting to tap down and see the OW in bow and the OW in vowel and the OW in cow. And so here is just what's so powerful visually. As the children shade those two letter combinations, and when it's shaded in and colored in, now it sort of pops off the page. And so they're building this sort of visual database in their brain to draw from. And so then I would usually go back with the child and point out and say, now, isn't this interesting that OU says OW, but OW also says OW? And so in the future, perhaps when they encounter a new word that's unfamiliar and they don't know, now they're equipped with some more detect skills. They have ability to perhaps decode that word. So if they see an OW instead of going, oh, whoa, they think, oh, no, wait, I have this visual in my mind of seeing that OW shaded. And so maybe it actually says OW. And so as we do that over and over with each sound, so the week we're doing long A sounds, they may be shading AY in way or EI in eight, or just plain A in gate. And so it just lets them see the combination and really appreciate how strange our English language is. And helps us as moms really appreciate what a challenge it is for a child, because there's so many different rules and combinations.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
So I will add that this is a whole week of activity. I know when I'm talking through this curriculum, sometimes with moms, they'll say, you do all that in a day. Oh, no, this is a whole week. I would typically, if we are doing the preview test, perhaps do the preview test and the word shape box on day one. Mm-hmm. Tracy, is that usually one day's work for your school?
Like I said, we skip the preview test, but yes, we'll do the word shape and the color in the phonic sounds all on one day.
Okay. And then the second day has its own set of activities. The hide and seek is a little game at the front of the teacher guide. It tells you how to put that together, to cut a file folder at the top of that in thirds and sort of create a lift the flap by writing the words, and then they hide it and test themselves and write it and then lift the flap and the third flap, write out the ones they misspelled. So that's fun. Some moms actually will cover that with contact paper and use a dry erase marker to play the lift the flap game. But the exercise at the bottom is the one I really wanted to showcase. And I think the one that's been so helpful for Tracy and her daughter. This is the tactile piece. This is the hands-on. And I think, again, when they're young, they're all really tactile learners. So we change these activities out every week to keep it fresh and fun. It may say, go out and write your words on the sidewalk with sidewalk chalk, or spell your words with beans or pipe cleaners or Play-Doh. And so, Tracy, tell us about your daughter's experience with this section.
Well, I was mentioning with Peggy, my kids are creative, so this really appeals to her. And it's a jumping off point. So she will do all of these, but then she will go further and come up with her own activities to even add to this.
She needs to be more higher.
Or she may see one of these activities and think, well, I don't want to do it exactly that way. I want to do it this way. And so, like with the, instead of pipe cleaners, she loves Wiki Sticks, and so she'll use the Wiki Sticks to kind of put them together.
Or,
um, Yeah. So yes, she loves this section. She loves the rhythm instruments. So she'll get out our rhythm instruments and really enjoy, you know, chanting her spelling words with, you know, an egg shaker or, you know, our jingle bells or whatever it is that strikes her fancy that day. And this section has allowed her to be more independent because I just let her at it. It's her choice. And so she gets to choose at this point what she does on what day and how she does it. And we take 2 weeks for a lesson. So she gets to explore a lot of this. And again, I think that helps assure her anxiety to be able to give her a measure of control in a subject that feels very out of her control. And so, yes, this has been very successful for her. So successful that I've taken some of these ideas and I use them with my kindergartner with some of his words now.
That's great. I'll add that one idea that I like to share with moms is just to get a little plastic shoebox and go ahead and flip through the book and gather all those little things and have them all together in one place. So the sidewalk chalk, the beans, the Play-Doh, the Wiki sticks now. I'm going to add that one to my repertoire. But anyway, all those little manipulatives that just make it fun and make it enjoyable. And it doesn't feel like school when you're playing with Play-Doh.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's, I think when you buy a workbook, you don't think that it's going to come with activities like this. And so I think that that's just a wonderful surprise in this curriculum is that you give parents those ideas. Because oftentimes I think if we're left to, well, just make it, you know, a little interactive, or if they do the same thing over and over again every week, it really gets boring. But this is great that you have different things each week and they can pick and choose. And like you said, Tracy, you know, they can come up with things on their own if they're really creative.
There we go. The next page that's usually then maybe the third day of the week or depending upon how many days you spend on each item is words. Here it's titled Words and Sentences. And so this is the page where they're learning the meaning of those words. We want to ensure that they don't just know how to spell a word, but they really own it and know what it means. So in this particular activity, they have a word bank and they're putting those words into sentences. Some weeks it may be a crossword puzzle. This is also the page where we introduce some skills like alphabetizing. So they may be putting some of their words in alphabetical order. And then the next page, we introduce the auditory piece of the multisensory learning. So that's the dictation section. And so this is where we have in the younger grades, there's just words to fill in. So their spelling words are in a sentence. They have to listen attentively. We provide the sentence for mom to read in the teacher manual. So the child listens attentively and then fills in the blank to write those. And for some reason, I think perhaps we're all like this. We may be able to concentrate on the word and spell it correctly in one area, but if we're writing it out from listening, sometimes that's a different skill. So listening and then transcribing what we hear, I think it's just a great skill for just even preparing them for upper level higher learning where they have to take notes.
While you're working on grammar, you're connecting different parts of the brain and creating pathways by doing this. You're doing so many different things other than just spelling or trying to get the letters into the right order, which you kind of work on at the beginning, but you're kind of building off of that then.
And of course, a lot has been written on the value of dictation and doing that with children of all ages. And so in the younger areas, there may be just one or two words. And as you go progress, as you progress through the curriculum year by year, and even during the current year, you'll see more blanks for them to fill in. So Tracy, how does she do with the auditory piece? Does she enjoy this segment or?
Definitely more of a struggle for her. And I gauge what else we're doing that week. Because if I have another curriculum piece that's doing a lot of dictation, I don't want to have two subjects doing dictation on the same day. And so we kind of leave this one a little more flexible. There are activities that we do, there are activities that sometimes I'll hold off on, knowing that this is a big struggle for her, but to always have some level of dictation, just trying to avoid too much at once from all of her subject areas.
Right. That's good. Very good.
Yeah, that's a very good point because you don't want to be stressing them out when you're just trying to get the words in the right order.
It's counterproductive, doesn't it? The bottom of that page always has a proofreading section. And so I like to remind our my fellow homeschool moms that the bubble is important. And sometimes we forget about filling in the bubble in our home education. But we don't want our children to meet the bubble the first time on standardized test day. So this is a life skill that we can forget about. So they need to know how to fill in that bubble completely and correctly. And so we give them some bubble fill-in practice each week through our proofreading segment, but also this is where they will visually look at the words that are presented and choose the one that is spelled incorrectly and fill in the bubble. Mm-hmm. So that's another visual assessment there.
Right. It's discrimination. So they can tell which is, I mean, if they're learning in pictures even, and they can quickly pick them out. That's great.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We wrap up the week usually with a, there's the hide and seek and some word sort suffixes here. That's kind of an appendix page that isn't always included. And then, we go on to the game. And so as we wrap up the week, every week we're going to have a colorful, fun game. It may be a treasure hunt. It may be a puzzle. But it's usually something a little bit different just to wrap that week up. And then we provide the spelling words for mom to administer the spelling test at the end of the week. We have sentences for her, and those are usually done on a separate sheet of paper from the book. Or, as Tracy indicated, you can cycle back and use that preview test page for the spelling test if you opted to forego the preview test in your homeschool. Another feature I wanted to draw attention to that I think is really phenomenal that sort of adds a whole language arts dimension to this, just underneath the game, there's a section called journaling. And so there's always a little journal prompt here. And because we are a reason for, and everything for us is right back to the scripture, our company is so aptly named because we begin our spelling with focus on that verse. They learned what the verse says and what it says, and they hit it in their heart with their handwriting. And then with our devotional, we're unpacking it and talk about what it means and what it could look like lived out in real life. And then we're going to go cycle right back there with this journal prompt to have a journal assignment that ties back to what that verse was talking about. So this journal prompt says, design a sign in your journal telling kids to listen and do what they are told. So when they're young, their journal is going to be very simple. In first and second grade, sometimes it's just finish a sentence or write one sentence or make a list. In this case, even making a sign. So it's creative and fun. So it sort of stirs them up to think creatively and engage with that verse and the truth that that verse is teaching.
That's awesome. Yeah, it definitely hits on every point that it needs to hit on. And like you said, you know, it could be done in a week the way it's written, or Tracy, like you handle it, you know, it's 2 weeks. And both of those approaches are appropriate for whatever speed your child is able to handle the intake of the information and process it. So, you know, the other thing that I really love is the story part that, you know, you build in a whole relational story that's scripture based that helps the child relate to all the words in that section. And so that's really neat because, you know, again, with dyslexic thinkers, which I have one of, they tend to think in stories and large pictures. And so to be able to take a story, to take a biblical truth and to hide, you know, even these words in there so that the kids are pulling these pieces of nuggets out as they're doing spelling is, I think above and beyond is, you know, we're talking about not only the multisensory part, which we just talked about, but now the biblical truth part of it. So what do you two have to add with that? And, we've got a lot of questions. So I'm going to quick look at, I'm sorry, my screen was up. I wasn't able to see what was going on over here.
I was just going to comment on what you said about the story, Peggy, that, you know, teaching in parables is how our Lord taught, you know, when you follow on the heels of Jesus and chase his journeys through the gospels. That's how he taught. He told stories and used parables. And I think those resonate. And so those stories resonate with the child and they let them see that scripture isn't just relegated. It's not just something we memorize that was written in ancient Bible times. Right. It has direct application to today. And each one of those stories has a little bit of drama that would be age appropriate, things that make them grapple with scripture and see the application. It may be talking about a house fire or a grandparent developing Alzheimer's or just a health issue or a struggle with forgiveness where two children are needing to learn to forgive one another. And so I really think those have been well done and give us a great opportunity to sort of talk that through with our children and almost prepare them in advance for when that happens, almost like that worst case scenario game. Here's how you respond, and here's the scripture that applies to that scenario.
We had done an interview on manners, and we were talking about how it's so good for kids to see the example played out in front of them, because when they're involved in that, they tend to not see their inadequacies or what they're doing that's a little off. But when they see it from a third person perspective, they're like, ooh, maybe that's not right, you know, and maybe when I do that, that's not a good idea. So yes, learn from others' mistakes, and definitely storytelling allows us to do that without, you know, making the mistakes ourselves, at least we hope.
And then the lesson is rooted in the context of that story. And so the sentences that you pull from the spelling test are sentences that relate the characters in the story and the plot line. The sentences, a lot of your sentences from dictation are pulled from that. It's just the whole lesson is woven into that storyline. So their spelling has a context through the whole week, not just on day one.
Right. Because oftentimes when you look at spelling curriculums, they're so disjointed. And I think I found that I tried so many spelling curriculums with my kids. I finally gave up. You know, I was looking at yours today and going, okay, I really missed it with my kids. I have two that graduated that really don't spell well. And my husband came up to me and told me how gifted our one child was that has dyslexia. And it was like, okay, thank you for telling me that, because I feel like I failed them a lot. But you know, it's, as Tracy and I were talking about, it's what God allowed, and they have created, you know, workarounds for those types of things, and that's the way it was supposed to be. So let's see, our readers or our comments, somebody had asked what curriculum this was, and somebody answered, thank you, Beth, for answering her question, a reason for spelling. And so Kimberly's excited about trying this for her daughter. And another Kimberly, who's on the Sped Homeschool team, she had met with you this weekend at the conference, Laura, and she got really excited about your curriculum too. And so she's gonna be doing it. So yes, lots of excitement going on here on the feed.
Well, and I just want to say thank you for considering investing in our curriculum.
One of the activities I've done with my younger ones, so if you have a child who maybe has trouble tracking, you know, we give them the list, but if tracking is a problem, something I've done with my younger one is I've made little envelopes, and all of his words are on 3x5 cards. And so what I can do is just give him an envelope of words, and he only has one word to focus on at a time. And then he can do the creative multi-sensory activity with that one word and then put it away and then focus on one more word. And so that gives him, number one, a level of independence when I need him to be independent.
That's a great idea.
He doesn't have a whole list of words to get lost in.
Great idea.
That is good. Yeah, because we, you know, there's a lot of kids, especially that have problems sequencing or tracking, like you said, and that the biggest issue is how do I work around that? And that's great if, you know, you can keep track of those cards. That would be my problem.
Yeah. I got a Target flower box.
Yes.
Perfect.
My flower box.
Yeah. My brain was just jogged by something that Tracy said that I wanted to mention too. Each year has about 32 lessons, I think, 32 lessons. But every about five or six lessons, there'll be a red tab. And those that week there will be a review lesson. So we intentionally build in a review every few weeks. And that's just such a good refresher to cycle back and revisit those words we've already learned and make sure they're still owning and holding on to those.
That's so very important because, yes, we tend to forget easily. And so it's good to have that built in. So let's see, what else do I have? Oh, I was going to ask you as far as what multisensory activities, Tracy, have been the most fun for your kids?
My daughter loves to be messy. So anything that involves the glitter glue activity is a huge hit. She loves the glitter glue, filling her words with the glitter glue. Both my kids love Play-Doh, but they do it differently. So my daughter will roll up the Play-Doh and shape the word. My youngest likes to smush the Play-Doh out, and then I give him like a paintbrush, and he'll use the end of the paintbrush to carve his word into the Play-Doh.
I love it.
There's another activity where she's supposed to draw in carpet, which I think is so fun because she's a sensory seeker. So she's always doing this. I mean, she's drawing pictures on my couch, anywhere that there's that, you know,
that nap
pattern in the fabric. You know, the mermaid pillows with the sequins that go either way, you know, just that being able to trace and pull through the fabric to create that word. And then she loves, like I said, she loves the rhythm instruments and the chanting and with all of the different, you know, the rhythm sticks or the jingle bells or whatever it is. She has a little Hello Kitty karaoke, so she likes to add an auditory effect to it.
We'll be looking for that video to be released on YouTube.
Yes. You could probably just have your daughter write a whole little mini book to go along with a reason for spelling of alternative methods.
I really love Tracy's testimony. I was just marveling again today as I reread her post from last year and again today to see what a profound change. Just going from it being such a struggle and then her sharing with us that this has become her favorite subject. I just think it's remarkable to not just see improvement, but to see such a dramatic change. And that's such an encouragement to me and to all of the folks here at A Reason For, to see that this is really working for her and working so well and so effective and fun as well. And I think that's really the goal, for this to be biblical and to support parents, because that's our reason for it. That's our overview of all we do. But then the purpose is to teach spelling and to see that happening in a way that is really effective and just making such a difference for your child is just a huge encouragement to us and the reason we're here.
That's great.
And I did want to mention too that we're offering a discount to the viewers that are here tonight and people in the community for the entire month of June. We want to cooperate and partner with SPED to bring our products.
Peggy, I've lost the audio for Laura, so I can't hear
you
when she's, so. Okay.
So Laura is talking about the promo for A Reason For. Hopefully you get that back. Let's see, I'm going to pull that up if I can find it here. Okay, it's showing.
While she's pulling it up, I'll just say, there it is, a 20% discount for the month of June if you use the code SPED2018. You can use that on our website and get that on handwriting and spelling during the month of June when you order.
Awesome.
And you go to areasonfor.com to make that happen.
Thank you so much for doing that, Laura. I definitely appreciate that. I know... our viewers will definitely take advantage of that.
Good, we hope so.
I don't know, I'm contemplating with my youngest. We'll see. Definitely got to pray about it. And, you know, as we get into that, you know, one of the things I always tell parents is, you know, wherever God gives you peace is where you're supposed to move forward in pursuing something and teaching your child. And if you have any anxiety or questions, just wait, because he'll make it evident whether or not you're supposed to do that. We often allow anxiety to lead our decisions, but we just need to let peace rule those. And I can't say that more enough. I found over the years of teaching my kids that, you know, it's those peaceful things that God has put in front of me, whether if they made sense or not, were the exact things that I was supposed to use in teaching them that year.
You know, that's good sound advice for praying about any decision, not just homeschooling and not just those that have to do with our parenting, but our marriage, our finances, our relationships, those major life decisions. We pray until we get to that place of peace and joy. And I love the picture when I think about praying in a challenging situation. I always think about Hezekiah in 2 Kings that received that very scary letter from the king of Assyria. And he went up to the temple and it says he spread it out before the Lord and he prayed over it. And so I have spread out homeschool catalogs, and I've spread out documents and papers and even a to-do list and prayed over it. And so praying until you get to that place of peace and then joy is good advice, Peggy. So thanks for reminding us that. And I think we probably know that, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we already believe as we go through this journey.
Right. Yeah. I think around this time of year and all through the summer, this is when I get on my soapbox about praying and peace, because it's when a lot of parents make a lot of decisions on what's going to come up next year. And we can't let the enemy take hold of that and confuse us. So, so we have about 9 more minutes left. So if any of you watching have any questions or comments to add, definitely put those in the feed. I'm just going to ask both Laura and Tracy, some ending encouragement that you have for our viewers, just on, you know, having a struggling learner, looking at things kind of outside the box, or even a child that maybe is so frustrated and you're frustrated. You know, we have a lot of those parents that come to us and they're just kind of at their wit's end. So I just kind of want to have you just share any advice you have or wisdom to kind of take from what we've talked about, and also just what you've learned in life in general to share with our audience.
I know one of the things, you know, having ADHD and dyslexia, our homeschool is very often chaotic and very loud. And there are very hard days. But just remembering that having those struggling learners has actually, as difficult as it's been, it's forced me to be a better teacher. It's forced me to try things I never would have tried before. And then to just take those moments and to sit back and, you know, like you mentioned, your husband did with you, just to sit back and see who our children are, that they do have strengths. It's so easy to get lost in the struggle. But just to recognize, you know, these are gifted children whose strengths often don't get seen. And so to sit back and see where that strength is, instead of looking at a curriculum first, to look at your child first and see, okay, where's their strength and how can I use what they naturally do, what they naturally go to teach this subject, and to kind of, you know, like you said, you're looking at everything upside down. So instead of starting with, okay, here's my standards of learning, here's my curriculum, here's my child, and I need to teach my child, not teach a curriculum. And what does that look like for this particular child? Because it will look different for each one, from the oldest to the youngest. It's just, it's a different story every time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I agree so much. Yeah.
You know, I know that God always equips us for what he calls us to do. And I don't think that's ever more clear than in the call to home education. I look back over those years and would define them as the most challenging of my life, but yet at the simultaneously the most rewarding. And I look back and I believe that perhaps God was not only about educating my children. Home education wasn't just about giving them sort of this one-on-one sort of education, but it was about refining me profoundly. <Yep. laughs> I am a different woman because of that journey that God called us to. And I learned things about myself. I believe that my children saw in me a woman who loved God, loved his word, but a woman who messed up and a woman who owned it when she got it wrong. And so I feel like as I've cried out to the Lord, looking back and said, oh, Lord, I just would love to go back. And, you know, I look back with some regret. I would love to go back. And whether it's choosing the right spelling curriculum or just so many other decisions, how I would love to go back and start over. And it wasn't an audible voice, but I feel like the impression that my kind and gracious Lord placed on my heart is, Laura, even if you could go back, you wouldn't do it any differently because it's the living that brings the learning. Life is our classroom. Mm-hmm. And it's through those life journeys and experiences that you've learned those things. So what you've modeled to your children are some good choices, but you've also equipped them for what to do when you get it wrong. And this is what a woman of God looks like. It's not about getting it right every time, but it's about owning it when you get it wrong and cycling back to make it right. So what I love to tell moms who come to me in tears and think it's not working, am I messing them up? I'm not sure I'm right to do this. You know, my message is you are uniquely qualified to teach your child because you know them and you love them. You can pay someone else to teach them or care for them, but you can never pay someone to love your child because you love them, you're invested in their education, and you're uniquely qualified because you know what makes them tick, you know what tickles them, and you know what ticks them off. So you know when there's legitimate anxiety or uncertainty or when they're just sort of sandbagging you and being lazy or what have you. So you know your child. Mm-hmm. And if you would put them in a classroom with several other children, it may take a couple of months before that teacher even knows their name. But you know your child. And I am convinced that our Lord is gracious and always provides, always equips us for what he calls us to do. It's going to be a struggle, but guess what? There would be a unique and different set of struggles with another educational choice for your child that may be even more challenging. Mm-hmm. I have no regrets other than wishing I had been a little bit better at it, but that choice I think has changed and shaped and equipped my children, and I know that I'm a different woman because of this choice. So it's a profoundly challenging, but also a profoundly rewarding life choice. And I just say, go mom. And that's part of the reason we've created a reason for homeschool, to try to encourage women in their journey and give them some tips or ideas, or whether it's an organizational tip or a recipe or a teaching tip. So there's lots of information there as we wrap up. I wanted to be sure and give the moms that are watching not just the link to our website to purchase the products and use that discount, but also the link to our blog to encourage moms at reasonforhomeschool.com.
I've got that. Let me add my screen back here and pull that up so I can show that.
There we go. Yeah.
There we go.
That's just highlights of a few of our topics. We do a devotional every Sunday called Sunday Soaking. We do a monthly free bookmark called Write the Word, where we choose a word of the month. I've got just a few of those here, and moms can download that and write the word along with their children. And then once a month, we do a do-it list to help keep you organized. So there's all sorts of free downloads and free information and ideas for holidays and encouragement. So we'd love for moms to join that community and use, tweak, adapt anything there that might help them. And we're looking forward to having Tracy do another guest blog or two for us as well. So,
so for those people that are listening, and it's a reasonforhomeschool.com, just to, so since you can't see the video version of that, but yes, that's awesome that, you know, that you're just continually encouraging. We find that is so needed, and it's so needed to have encouragement that really makes a difference instead of just putting out some good words. You know, when we have our faith underneath it and it's the hope that has kept us going, it means so much more. I mean, it's got God in it, and that's living and breathing and continues to work beyond us when we share that hope. So So yeah, well, thank you both of you for just sharing with us tonight, all the wisdom you have, you know, and just helping us to view spelling in a whole different perspective, especially for me, as I was quick doing my research after a crazy day today, and I'm going, oh, this is going to be really fun to talk about. And I'm just so excited that that we were able to share this with our viewers, and just a very different approach to sometimes a very tedious subject. And like Tracy, you said, you know, I think a lot of kids get burnt out on spelling because we drill it and kill it. And unfortunately, we kind of kill our children's heart in the process of not wanting to learn anymore either. And this opens their heart back up, and not just to the words, but also to God's truth. And that's the most important thing. So thank you both for joining us and sharing this time of your evenings to just encourage and equip our community at SPED Homeschool.
Yeah. Yep. Our blessing. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap us up. So I just thank our audience for joining us here on SPED Homeschool Conversations. Next week, we have Dara, and I'm hoping I say her last name right, Heidelier. We're going to discuss the topic of marriage and how to be purposeful in prioritizing marriage as you homeschool. And she has a lot of experience in that area. So I want you to also keep the conversation going, which we do on our website at spedhomeschool.com and also on our Facebook support group. You can find us just at SPED Homeschool page. That's our public page, which this is broadcasting on right now and which we'll continue to broadcast. But also on the support group that's linked to that, we have a continual conversation going on different subjects related to homeschooling and special needs. So we hope you join us there too during the week, and then join us next week for our broadcast there. And also connect with us if you want to be on our mailing list. You can subscribe to that there. If you know of people that own organizations that would be good to be hooked up with us as a partner organization, we have free listings on our website, and we would love to get in contact with anyone there, and also for donors. We are a nonprofit, and we run completely off of donor dollars, and we know that that God will provide in our need, and we're just trusting in Him to do that. And we thank you for putting the word out that that we have that need. So anyways, until next week, I'll see you on support group, and see you next week on this broadcast. Bye.